Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Sunday night, late night radio. What fun.
Well, that was
good. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Because we do. Okay, Chuck, that's our guest tonight. Chuck just messaged me. I will, Chuck, here is the phone number. It is 563-999-3709. And, of course, we do have Chuck W. Chapman, who is an amazing artist, singer, author. I mean, he does it all. He does it all. He's amazing. And let's see here. I'm going to refresh the page. Hold on a second. Echo, make an announcement.
What's the announcement?
Never mind. He called in.
Announcement.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so,
mind, he called in.
Yeah, I was going to tell you to call in. Okay, you can hear the echo. Okay, so a lot of cool things that are going on right now, but first we got to make a couple announcements real quick. Don't forget Honest Amish. Nick, how much do you love The Stuff?
The Stuff, that was a great movie. I really liked that. That was like back in the early 80s when the dessert ate the people. Oh, I get it. Yeah, The Soap, yes, they're great. It's great. I love that soap.
Yeah, it's Honest Amish.
The licorice one. The licorice one's really good, though, but I just didn't expect it.
It's great stuff. And
yeah.
Don't forget to go to...
I'm doing a terrible job, aren't I?
You're doing fantastic, honey. You're
good. Yeah.
Always well.
I tried that. It doesn't taste like licorice at all.
No, but it does smell like licorice.
It does, and it's a black piece of soap, and, you know, and if you put it in the refrigerator and took off the label and the wrapper and everything, I would have thought, oh, look, it's candy. Look, candy.
And it smells like candy.
It smells like black licorice. Yeah.
Don't forget to go to honestamish.com. Adrian Johnston, J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, not Johnson. It's Johnston. He is the spokesperson for Honest Amish. Very nice guy. Would you agree, Nick?
Yeah, actually, I really support them. That was the guy that we met when he was here. Yeah, that's right. When he was doing a convention here, he was on that one channel, that beard competition show.
No. He got his start. He was like, wait, I can grow a beard.
Yeah. But he was from that show, right?
No. He watched the show, and he was like, yeah, Whisker Wars is what started it. He worked in a factory for many years. He was able, Honest Amish, like, dude, you got such a great personality. We want you to promote this. And he's doing a great job. And Aaron D. Johnston, man, you're living the freaking dream. And I'm really proud of you. Don't forget, go to honestamish.com, type in promo code TALKINGBEARD, and you're going to get a discount on your purchases. And the soaps are not expensive at all. They got beard oil. They got everything that you need for a healthy man or woman, because I use the soap too. It's great.
Yeah. That sometimes you got to shave your face too, Francie, but when that's really nice. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, sometimes I do get those little whiskers that come out. All right,
that's,
and then also, I did talk to this gentleman the other day, and Bobby Wilson's on the plane. Okay, so all right.
She tried to get Bobby Wilson to be on the show.
Yeah, he's on the plane right now. So another thing, just talked to this guy the other day, fantastic guy, nicest guy you're ever going to meet. You're going to look at him and you're going to watch him and you're like, oh, he's one of the nicest guys ever. He's helping his fame. Creative Cheaters is now rescuing dogs. It is called To the Rescue. Don't forget it. You can watch it on the CW, where he goes out and he rescues dogs is what he's doing, basically. If a dog is endangered, somebody calls the show, he comes and he rescues dogs. He has rescued thousands upon thousands of dogs. You can even see a video where him and his two sons are just getting crates out of an airplane of all these dogs that they rescued, and he helps them find their forever home. Tommy Habib, congratulations. You're doing a fantastic job in helping these dogs. So thumbs up to you. Thank you for saying, please keep saying, yes, talk about To the Rescue. So congratulations, Tommy Habib, in all your efforts. You're doing a fantastic job. Right, Nick?
Yes, that's true. That is true.
All right, we do. I do believe we do have Chuck W. Chapman on the phone. Before we do that, Nick, because you know we do have Black Bedsheet Books here.
Black Bedsheet Books, yes.
Black
Bedsheet
Books.
Been working on. Like overtime. A lot lately. To start off, I'm just about ready to release Who I Killed at Camp last summer by Thomas Kaminsky. Kaminsky, he's really cool. It's a great book. It's a great satire and homage to like the Jason stuff and, you know, all the like a lot of the 80s, 70s. There's a serial killer going around killing everybody at camp, kind of thing. And that's just coming out this week. Also The Violet Furnace by Edward Martin III is just around the corner.
Edward.
And so is L.A. Nance's poetry book, A Single Note of Time. So I've been working on getting those out. And The Nesters by Ken Robinson, Death's Aunt by Jordan Zachary, just a lot of incredible stuff. And Tom Sawyer has his new Twilight Zone book. And Rod, we trust some more. It's like the fourth one that I've published with him, and then Chuck Chapman actually contributed a short story to what's going to be coming out towards the end of summer. Is our next Read Us or Die book, the sequel to Read Us or Die that we published in 2013, that had most of our authors involved. Now this is all Black Bedsheet Books authors. And that's coming out pretty soon. But also, we just signed Linnea Quigley. Isn't that cool or what? And her book, along with Michael McCarty and Stan Swanson, The Return of the Scream Queen, that's going to be coming out around the beginning of summer. That's going to be killer. That's going to be incredible. And, I have a few things, too. What I plan to have coming out by the end of spring is, if you've ever read anything out of my collection, Red, Wet, Dirt, the beginning story, the Yuletide thing, and it's been published by itself, in Doorways Magazine, I think it was, and a few anthologies. But I'm republishing that as a standalone, but with black and white comics illustrating everything. So that's just around the corner. Too. Plus, at least by Christmas or something, I'm going to have a brand new collection coming out myself, finally.
Nice.
it's a joy, publishing other people and stuff, but sometimes I just have to do things, with my stuff, too, when I have a chance. But this is going to be a great year for Black Bedsheet Books. Overall, I've got so many new published authors that I found. I can't wait to present them to you as well. So I think that's about it, Francie.
All right. So are we ready to bring on? And I do want to make a huge apology. It is not Chuck W. Campman. I sincerely apologize for that. It is Chuck W. Chapman. Are you ready, Nick?
At least you didn't call him Chunk.
At least I didn't call him Chunk. You do got a good point.
In the description, you wrote the right name, so.
Yeah.
So people know.
Yeah. So without further ado.
That's
Mr. Jeff W. Chapman, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing
hey.
Okay. We're hey. Nick
yep.
is like, Long hey.
Time.
These be good times. They're good times.
Long time to talk to. What's it been, an hour?
Something like that, I think. Yeah, that is a long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're always a busy guy.
Always.
And it is also really cool to hear how busy you are. Every time I check your status out on Facebook. You're doing something. I think that's awesome. So give us what's going on right now.
New album in the works. Some really, really cool big surprises coming on it. So we've done all the bass tracks. We're just trying to get which bass and drums. So all the rhythm tracks are done. Beginning to add guitars and vocals. Also about halfway through my next book, which I hope to get to Nick here in the next month or two. So to have out by fall.
Ooh.
What else? Oh, did you show Nick the picture I just sent?
In fact, I just sent you a link. In fact, yes, I will. I just seen that photo. Is that Linnea Quigley?
It is.
Ah.
See, my vision is so terrible.
Cool.
I was actually able to tell that was Linnea Quigley. Hey, Chuck, if we get if we get Linnea Quigley on the show, will you promise that you will co-host the show?
Oh, sure. I love Linnea. We get together at a lot of the horror conventions and stuff. She is such a sweetheart.
Yeah,
here
that's
she is.
I hate to sound like a pervert, but
above my bed, I have a this picture of her from Night of the Living Dead that she wrote to Nick and Francie on. But just to let you know, I do have like probably 20 other photographs like that from other people that, you know, and I'm just a movie person.
As long as you don't have one of me above your bed, I'm okay with being in your office.
Oh, I do. I do. No, I'm kidding. I don't. I don't.
Let it be on Francie's side at least.
Chuck, by the way, I sent you a link. If you want to take a look at that, just to let you know that we're number one. Woo.
Cool.
Yeah, Nick,
My work here is done. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah. Okay. Good night.
Now he's going to hang up on us.
Quit while we're on top.
Yeah. You got to stay with us for a little while. I was trying to, of course, William and Tom, they got conventions this weekend. So sorry, you just stuck with Nick and I. And I was thinking, you know, it would be awesome if we can get Bobby Wilson. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's Jackie Wilson's son. And I was like, man, we can get Bobby Wilson on the show to help host the show.
We tried to get Gemini Burke on, too.
Yeah, we were trying to get Gemini, too. We can probably still get him. But Bobby Wilson, as we were doing the opening, it's like, oh, Bobby's on the plane. So, yeah. So right now you're just stuck with Nick and I.
Hey, that's fine. That's no problem at all. Two of my favorite people.
Nice. Oh, boy, he's so sweet. So, no, honestly, it was really funny today because I finally figured out what the Garage Echo show was the name of in the garage, and I was like, hey, play Chuck Chapman's on Garage Echo show. And it scared the crap out of Nick. He's like, what the hell just happened? Got a demon went into the garage or something. I don't know. But you started
like, yeah, I was just trying to catch up on the news on YouTube, sitting in front of the TV with a cat on my lap. And all of a sudden, we got Mona Lisa. And it's like, what the hell? And the cat like left, and it's like, okay, oh, that's Chuck Chapman. Okay, I'll keep letting it play.
Good thing she didn't play Slayer or something.
Slayer or something.
Yeah. I gotta ask you, Chuck. I mean, writing music is pretty difficult. And I see you on stage all the time, and man, you're just like rocking it out. Like you make it look easy.
It is easy. I mean, it comes natural. It's I've told people plenty of times I'm way more comfortable on stage than I am off stage. So, you know, I feel like that's my home, and when I'm off there, I'm away from home. So when I'm in the real world, that's when I feel awkward and nervous and stuff. The real world scares me. The performing world doesn't.
That's actually kind of cool that you said that, because I had this really good friend of mine who is a comedian. His name is Basil, and another one named Spanky Brown. They actually said the same thing. They're more comfortable on stage, and when you talk to them, like, one-on-one, they're, like, awkward.
I've gotten better.
Not like you. You don't sound awkward, Chuck.
If it's people I know. But, like, if I'm doing something like this, you're getting a performance. This is the same as being on stage. So, I mean, I'm being real, but I'm still the Chuck W. Chapman character. I'm not just plain old Chuck walking down the street every day character.
You have to be that way, because if you were just, like, normal, not energized, not like, you know, that's what a performer is supposed to do, is perform. And then you can't just be like that, you know, behind the scenes. That would be, like, ridiculous, kind of, wouldn't it?
I've had people ask before, I know my wife said, you know, how can I tell when you're being real and when you're performing? I'm like, just always think that I'm performing and that'll be fine.
I got to tell you, though, of all the people that I've met in my life, you are, like, one of the top 10 people that is probably one of the nicest and caring people that I know, honestly.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'll try to be. I try to be real. You know, like I said, the W character is a character, but it's... what you are on stage can only be an extension of who you really are, or else it doesn't come off as authentic, you know, and people can tell if you're faking it. People can tell if you're not invested, so.
Yeah, you've always seemed really genuine, and that's why when you say, hello, can I be on this? Yes. When do you want on? Because a lot of people do adore you, and I do get messages all the time when you've been on the show. They're like, oh, my gosh, she's so sweet. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now, Chuck, I've gotten a couple of messages from women. Chuck, are you single?
I don't know. It's according to how much money they have. I can be. No, I'm teasing. I'm not cheap, but I can be bald.
I've had women ask me, is he single? I was like, dude, you're going to have to talk to him about that one. I don't know.
You know, tell them if they want me to be even sweeter, to buy books, to buy CDs and stuff. I get sweeter with every book and every CD sold.
Oh, I bet you do. We all do.
I honestly have gotten messages from women, is Chuck single? I'm like, dude, send them a friend request. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you there.
Send him Polaroids and cash.
Make a deal with Playgirl and do a centerfold, and then that'll just boost your sales, like, right up or something. Or on your next album, you could do, like, Prince's Love Sexy and just, like, be naked with, like, a leaf in front of you.
I don't. Let's just keep the mystery. How about that?
I don't think that's rock and roll enough. I think that's somewhere else.
I promise their fantasy is way better than my reality.
Nah, you're a sweetheart, and you really are. And I'm confident enough in my relationship with Nick that I can say in front of Nick, you're a sweetheart.
Oh, you could say that anyway.
Yeah, never mind.
You guys
Nobody,
are. You,
okay.
You guys are great. It's always fun to talk to you guys.
All right. So should we play a Chuck W. Chapman song?
Yeah, let's play one of them. Let people
right,
that don't
right.
know
so,
know.
So, if you don't know, now you know. All right. So I've been locked out of my computer and everything. So we're going to have to do this the Echo way. Echo, play Chuck W. Chapman. I don't know what she's going to play.
Oh, a random song.
Here's the music
okay.
of Chuck W. Chapman on Amazon Music.
So much better when it's not on a Casio cassette player from 1978 going through a telephone machine, but
I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm locked out of my computer and everything. And I even ran out to Nick and I said, Nick, how does it sound? Because I'm just. It is actually a great song.
I like it. It's one of my favorites. You know, and I try to be my own worst critic. There's so many things that I never let anybody hear. Every time I do a 9-10 song record, there was probably 25 or 30 that never made it to even let my band hear. I just, you know, if I don't know, I'm pretty rough on myself. So my hope is that everything I put out is good. And a lot of things, usually I listen back and wish I'd done something different or wish I'd, you know, added a part, took away a part, whatever. But I've tried to get better about that, to be able to just be able to enjoy that I get to put my stuff on CDs, on vinyl, and that people buy it and that people want to hear it. So I'm trying to appreciate that.
And then not to mention, I mean, now today and age, I mean, like on the internet and everything, okay, I'll pay 99 cents and I'll download this song. And even just going to an Echo Dot, you know, say, play Chuck W. Chapman. Echo, play Chuck W. Chapman. You know, and
there's some music by Chuck W.
Echo, stop. Echo, echo, stop. Echo, stop. Echo, stop. Echo, stop. Echo, stop. Echo, stop. I mean, it's fantastic.
You stopping that in mid-song just cost me 0.00073 cents.
Really?
When they stop, it costs you like a little bit? Wow.
Well, it doesn't cost me anything. It just keeps me from making 0.00073 cents.
Echo! Play Chuck W. Chapman!
Well, not yet. Not during the show. But, yeah, we played you enough anyway, so you've gotten...
Echo! Echo! Volume down.
Oh, anyway, I mean...
Four.
Yeah.
So I recommend that everybody...
Echo! Volume down times three.
Whatever streaming service you use, just put me on repeat and let it play in the background. You can turn the volume down. Regardless, I will. After you play my song 100 times, you will have made me a quarter, and I will be appreciative.
I've actually signed books with your music in the background.
That's awesome.
you're playing in the background.
I mean, geez, you know, it's enough to be a publisher and to publish like great authors, but when those great authors do other things and you see them not just like sitting at home twiddling their thumbs, but they actually make a life for themselves and be an artist, like whether it's music or acting or directing, producing or writing more books or whatever the case may be, I become a bigger fan of them. And so, you know, when an author of mine, like for instance, like you, does music and you go out and you spend all of your time doing all that and you sound great, and it's like, why not listen to him every once in a while? You know, hey, put on Chuck W. Chapman. Hey, I know him. He's one of my authors. Isn't that cool or what? That's what I think.
Right. Yes, this coming weekend, my band is playing Friday night in Maryville, Tennessee, at a place called The Bird and the Book in Maryville, Tennessee. So if anybody's in the Tennessee, Knoxville area, come out to Maryville and see us there on Friday night. And then on Saturday, I hope we're still trying, but we should be doing a book signing at that same location on Saturday.
Nice.
Ah.
You
no, I wish we
really
could
go. I wish we could go, too.
Yeah, that would be neat. One of these days you're going to have to come out here to where we are. And like,
we need to get you out here, Chuck.
Well, I'm going to be in L.A. in August.
Really?
Yes.
In August.
That's a lot of planning. We can do that.
You should, like, do a gig at Sacramento's Crest Theater downtown. where everybody's. So we actually, Francie and I went to see Pfeiffer Fighting there and stuff. And they've got like a lot of, it's great. I suppose they don't pay you much, but you'll get a big audience, I suppose. I don't know. I don't want to sound like an agent who doesn't know what he's talking about. But, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually playing in August 10th. August 10th will be at, let's see, I said L.A., but it's right near L.A. It's actually in Simi Valley.
That's near L.A.
I got to ask you, Chuck, because I think it's exciting. I mean, what Nick is doing is also exciting to me, you know? He's not doing the, you know, the regular 9-to-5 like me. I was like clocking in. It's like, oh, it's time to go to work. And I think it's great that, I mean, you're living your dream too.
Well, yes, but I'm still doing the 9-to-5 as well. So I have to be a real person 40 hours a week as well.
And
oh,
you
wow.
still have your printing business, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, thought so. Yeah, so that's, I mean, you're busy is your way of life. Between that and the music and the books and your personal life.
On what?
Where
what,
do you find time?
What was that last one, personal life?
What was that last one? I don't recognize. What language is that?
I think it's from another planet.
To quote the great American poet and philosopher Tom Petty, I feel like if you never slow down, you never grow old.
You only sleep when you're
true.
Dying.
From a certain point of view, that is definitely true.
Yeah, you only sleep when you're dying. No, actually,
you
got to
make the best of this life. I mean, we only do it once as far as we know.
Yeah, that most of us can remember at least. So.
Now, every time I see you, you're always so upbeat. You're just like, yeah, let's do this.
Oh, gosh, that's because I
love that about you.
Yeah, I don't broadcast the times when I'm sitting in the corner in a fetal position crying. I keep those to myself. So that way I can be positive in public. So I can fall apart in
private. Well, you can always call in a couple of friends. We'll listen to you.
Some people just have to have that downtime. Figure things out.
That what?
As long as you overcome it.
You keep saying words that I don't understand, Nick.
Overcome.
This downtime, this personal life thing. I don't know where you're going with those.
I don't have the time, no, either.
Let me ask you this, Chuck. Like, writing books and writing music. Writing songs, what do you think is harder?
Probably writing songs. The books kind of write themselves to me. I come up with an idea, and I can take an idea and get started, and the book runs, the story tells itself to me, and all I do is like write it down. Music's a lot harder. Songs are a lot harder to me in general because I have to come up with the music as well and make the lyrics and the music tie together. Plus, you have to tell a complete song in about 3 to 4 minutes, where with a book, you've got pages and pages and pages to tell your story. So, you know, with a song, you've got to come up with more things and do it in a much more compact time. So I would think that songs are harder.
Yeah, I like, let's say Mona Lisa Smiles. I played a crappy version about that. I'm really sorry about that. Like I said, I'm locked out of my computer. Never mind.
That's okay. I'm sure I've played crappy versions of it, too.
That's funny.
But, I mean, even that, I mean, you came up with a metaphor and you made that great song. So, I mean, you're a fantastic writer, regardless of any situation.
Well, thank you. And that's what I've told people. People have asked, you know, how do you do all these different things? You know, you do the acting, you do writing, you do songs. But to me, you're telling a story. You know, all those things are just different forms of the same thing. To me, they're not different things. They're just different ways of doing the same thing.
Don't forget, yes, he is an actor. He does stage work. He works with Butch Patrick. He gave us Butch Patrick. Because
Butch Patrick was my gift to you. You should have seen me trying to get a bow on that little dude, man. He fought like crazy. He's like, don't put a bow on me. But I put a bow on him, and I sent him to you. Butch Patrick was my gift to you.
My phone died.
Yeah, it was funny as hell, man. Butch Patrick, he thought that we were going to do the interview. He, like, called my cell phone. He's like, all right, so how long is this going to take? And I'm like, probably about an hour. He's like, oh, really? I'm like, well, yeah, when I did our shows last about an hour, so I'll have you on. He's like, this is my first phone call with him. He's like, seriously? I was like, no, we're not live now. And he was like, so when do you want to do this? And he was so grumpy with me. And then when we got him on and he was like, yeah, okay, I get it now.
No, oh, he's a great guy.
He thought I was going to, like, you told him to call me, and he was like, how long is this going to take? I was like, well, my shows are an hour, but we'll probably have you on for 45 minutes. And he's like, ah. All right. Well, the connection's bad right now. Can we? And I was like, Butch, no, we're not live now. I do appreciate that. It was one of the funniest phone calls I got. And then he realized, oh, okay, I get it now. I was like, well, I'm happy you got it. He's like, yeah, we're going to do the show. I was like, okay. I was like, Chuck, you better call in, man.
I know, and I was, like, on the way back from Charlotte or something. I was on the road trying to call in, but it went great. The show was great. I really enjoyed it. He told some great stories I hadn't heard before, and it was a really good show, so I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, it was funny, though. He was so grumpy when he called me on my cell phone. I was like, holy crap, Butch Patrick. I mean, he even said his name on my caller ID. Butch Patrick. I'm like, oh, shit.
You know,
thank you.
You talk about people that are busy. That guy's all over, back and forth across the country constantly. I mean,
yeah.
At his age, as busy as he stays, I don't know how he does it. It's amazing.
And, you know, it's good to hear also a child star. Yeah. Nick, by the way, you're live again.
I dropped my phone, ran out of juice. It's the landline, so I had to go back inside and just call back in. But just like the last show, Francie, just like the last show, that happened where I was talking or listening and the phone dropped, so I had to go inside and get the other one. But a cat fight happened right when that happened. There's a big cat fight between Jeepers and Buddy.
And Creepers?
Yeah, Jeepers and Creepers.
Jeepers is actually here right now. Jeepers,
I don't like to swear too much, but I use other words, and Jeepers is one of them. So it's like, you know, I'd go outside and I'd, like, say something, like, when I'd be angry at nothing, I'd go, Jeepers, and then Jeepers would, like, show up, and I'd go, not you.
Ed Jeepers is a little blue Russian. He's a stray cat that we're taking care of. He's always yelling at me.
I'm,
I call him my little bug.
I'm glad you filled in that he's a cat, because at first you said he's a little blue Russian.
he's a little blue Russian. No, but I cannot thank you enough for giving us Butch Patrick. And Butch Patrick, honestly, he is like one of those child star heroes that went into this drug thing and he got out of it. And he fixed his life again and he looks great.
Oh, he does.
Oh, you're talking about Butch Patrick. You know what I really want? I saw that Rob Zombie's Monsters, and heard all kinds of terrible things about it and stuff. But I finally saw it, and I thought, it's lighthearted. I mean, it's not a masterpiece, but it's not bad. And I wasn't into Rob Zombie's other movies per se, especially the Michael Myers ones. And it's nice to see him, like, do something that's almost like a family film after all that. But it's a shame that Butch Patrick didn't do a cameo at all.
He was on the scene.
Well, he was actually the robot.
Oh, he was the robot?
He was the robot.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice. At least he got to be a part of it, you know,
right. So
no matter what extent.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was a terrible movie. And I love camp. I just thought the script was really, really bad. I didn't think the casting was terrible, which I originally thought that it might be. I thought the casting was okay. I thought the grandpa casting was really good. I thought it was great, for that matter.
He was my favorite character in the whole thing.
Yeah, by far, which he's brilliant anyway. He is just, wow. There's an old movie called Dudes that has Daniel Roebuck that is just amazing. It's such a good movie. It was always one that I would make, when I first started dating a girl, I would make her watch Dudes with me. And if she got Dudes, then I knew it was going to be okay. If she didn't get Dudes, it was like, I'm done with her. She's out of here. So
you message me, you got to watch Dudes.
Got to watch Dudes with John Cryer and Daniel Roebuck.
We all got to watch at some point. If we can make any wish happen and we can watch any movie that we wanted to and actually be together watching it, is Freak on a Moped.
Well, it never saw the light of day.
But it does exist, or maybe.
Maybe.
I hope so, but, I mean, maybe it's underground somewhere.
All I can think is he, like, ran it over with his car or something and just wasn't man enough to tell me. I don't know.
Wow, maybe.
Or maybe he's waiting until I'm dead and, you know, I get famous post-mortem and then he whips out, oh, here's his film. You know, I don't know.
Oh, you'll probably be famous before you die, Chuck, with your music.
I'm running out of time.
Running out of time? Well, we all are. We all are, at any rate. Who knows? And, you know, with your ambition, your next album and your next book and other things, I mean, you just keep going. So who knows, you know, 2024, and then you're alive in 2025, 26, 27. Who knows what can happen between then and now, even if you have a few more years to live. Which I doubt. I mean, who knows? Maybe you've got like 20 or 30. But as you keep
sure the world has 20 or 30 years left to live.
Oh, well, you never know. But at any rate, you keep doing stuff. So the more you do, the more kind of
the
a success.
The better you get.
You know, the more people are going to know who you are, going to like what you do. So as long as you live, even if you died tomorrow, you might sell more records after you died. But
Nick.
No. I mean, yeah, I'm just being...
It works.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
But no, I mean, actually, Chuck, though, you keep doing what you're doing. You're going places. You're doing, like, great stuff. My God. You're doing great stuff all around.
I'm having
all around, and you're putting so much effort in it. So, I mean, unless you die tomorrow or the next day or the next or whatever, if you keep living, then next year it's going to be better, and next year it's going to be even better. Unless, of course, there's World War III, then we're all fucked. But that's the way it works, though. I mean, you're doing good. How can you not keep, if you keep doing what you're doing, how can you not do more and then get more of an audience and then get more readership and the whole nine yards? I mean, and you're busting your ass. I mean, I know. So, I mean... And you're doing it. You're achieving an amount of a degree of success. And if
you
keep going,
right.
You know, and I imagine, I don't know because I haven't heard it yet, but I imagine the next album is going to be better than the last one.
I hope so. That's
and, you know, it just kind of makes sense to me. So, I mean, you know. It just keeps getting better and better, no matter what kind of depressions that you go through or anything. I mean, that's personal. That's your. But I mean, I'm glad that we got together through Joe Mo. With your first short story and everything. That's what linked us, and then you got me as a publisher of 3 books now, and a 4th one coming out. And then you go out and you are on stage. You're a recording artist, not just, you know, you're not in like just a band that plays like Top 40 stuff. I mean, you write your own shit, man. You do everything that you can possibly do that you love. And you're being successful. You're climbing the ladder, you know. I mean, you're actually achieving a lot of your dreams, and it's happening these days for you.
That's what
It's very important. People don't normally get this. People don't normally have things like that happen.
This is true.
You got a talent, man.
Yes.
I was at a convention last weekend, and this woman came up, and she's like, "Have you not written a new book yet? I have these already." So I thought that made me feel good that she already had bought all the other 3 at previous shows, and came up for that, wanting to know if I had a 4th one out yet. So I told her it's in the works.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, and it is. Just like your next album, and just like everything that you're doing, you just keep doing it. And that's great.
You're living
it's great
the
to
dream,
pour
man.
Yourself into all of that. And you do have a future unless, you know, something happens. You have a heart attack tomorrow. So, I mean, you know, I mean,
Nick,
just keep going. And you're
going to die
it.
Tomorrow.
That's, well, you know, I just, you know, that, I mean, as far
no,
as
I
long
think,
as you
I
keep
think
going,
that's
going to probably prevent that heart attack with ambition, because I do know throughout what I've seen in life too, if your life seems meaningless and you do nothing with it, you're more prone to have that heart attack the next day. But if you have meaning in your life and stuff, that
you're not
going to
die tomorrow.
If you have meaning in your life, within meaning there's longevity, unless you're Kurt Cobain. You know, it's true. Now I'm like going, trying to give you some advice. I keep rambling now.
I have two.
But yeah, I mean, it's true though. These things, some of these things are true.
Yeah. I have two advantages over Kurt, and I'm not going to try to swallow a pistol, and I'm not going to marry Courtney Love. So.
Well, that's
you know,
good.
I think Courtney was probably more dangerous than the gun.
Did I tell you that I hung out with the guy that they said killed him?
El
Duce was a friend of mine.
Nick, we're not talking about Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he used to defecate in the living room of the house that I slept on the couch when I was homeless because I was on drugs back in the 90s. It's a long story, but I knew El Duce. He used to steal my bottles of King Cobra.
I used to hang out in garages while
the mentors would play in the garage. And then if you've ever heard of, if you know of any of this, you know El Duce. Christian Death, they were a band that I used to hang out with. The lead singer got AIDS, but I tried out for Ozzy Osbourne as lead guitarist. And he had an album called Turtle. He was part of the Adolescents. He was the lead guitarist of Christian Death. Rick Agnew. And then members of Berlin. I'll make this short. The problem with me with those days that I didn't like was they're going, oh, you're the guy that wrote Halloween 4. You're the writer guy. But whenever I tried to do music, it was like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what. So I was like a spectator with music. But, I mean, I always wanted to be a rock star myself, and I could. It was like, oh, no, that's not you. You're just a writer, dude. But El Duce, he pissed me up. But he told us before Kurt Cobain died that he was contracted to kill him.
Yeah, I heard that.
So Blog Talk Radio is about to cut us off, and I would love for Chuck W. Chapman to say where you can reach him so you women can message him instead of me. go ahead and
media.
Give us your... Yeah. And by the way, he runs
media.
His own social media pages, so if you're going to talk to him, you're going to talk to him. Not some robot, not some lady that's smoking a cigarette with a wig on. Talk to Chuck. So, Chuck, where can we find you?
And
also do the YouTube.
All my social media is Chuck W. Chapman, so at Chuck W. Chapman on Twitter X, whatever the heck it is this week, Instagram, Facebook. I think I still have a MySpace page, but I don't know how to get into it, so don't do the MySpace. All the streaming services are there. YouTube is Chuck W. Chapman Music. Also, Foam Productions Films, if you want to see any of my short films or documentaries or anything that I've done, Foam, FOAM, Productions Films, ChuckWChapman.com, or, like I say, Chuck W. Chapman on all social.
All right.
Yeah, that's
groovy. We got 90 seconds left. Nick, what do you want to say to publish, produce Black Betsy Books?
I've said everything at the beginning, but, Chuck, we got to talk sometime about the El Duce Kurt Cobain thing. I've got a lot to tell you. Maybe, some other time. Because that was cool that it was brought up. But anywho.
Yeah, that's a story in and of itself.
It is. I could write a story like that, like you did with Family Guy. Almost.
I would read it, for sure.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that, both the L.A. and the New York punk scenes from the 70s and 80s and stuff. Those are some great men. I don't know, great
yeah.
the word. They're just some interesting times. I mean, I'm fascinated. I was always fascinated by like G.G. Allen.
G.G. Allen.
I've become friends with his brother Merle. In fact, Merle was at the last show I did in California, and I hope he'll be at the next one. Great guy. I love him. Crotchety old dude, but he just is such an awesome dude. I mean, he is just a great guy.
Well, have you ever, you know who Guar is, right?
Oh, I love Guar.
Guar is like, that's along the lines of like those, you know, G.G. Allen punk types, but they have like great costumes.
Oh, they're actually really good musically, too.
Yeah, they know how to play with those costumes on.
I know,
like,
that's
amazing.
When I was hanging out with them, I said, you know, I've always wanted to ask you how you played with those costumes, but, man, all that holds those things on is this little thin leather strip of their butt. So I said, okay, I was going to ask you how you played with the costumes. Now I'm going to ask you, how do you play with that strap going up your ass? And he just looks at me and goes, dude, I got to tell you, it ain't easy.
I guess they got to do what they have to do. Wow.
Yeah, I would have to throw on some bike shorts or something, and I don't think I could work with a little one-inch leather strap running up my butt cheeks for a whole show.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, too, if I was a musician.
Maybe they enjoy it. I don't know. Maybe it's a perk. Maybe it's a job perk. Well, you get made, you get to play music, you get to make money, and you get to have this strap up your ass.
That's great. Wow. So, yeah, this is a whole nother conversation, because I know exactly the people you're talking about, too. And I can't believe I actually hung out with some back in the day, my drug days, in the early 90s.
It's bad that they were drug days, and you probably wouldn't have been there if it weren't drug days, but the fact that you got to hang out with those guys is amazing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's all kinds of mistakes that we do in life, but all those types of experiences make you who you are. And if you're happy with who you are right now, and that's helped make you, and you survived it, then that's why I hate to sound like Mr. Rogers, but these days I kind of like who I've become versus back then.
I think we all can agree with that one.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's been a long, winding road. And I'm sure for you, too.
Always.
Look at you. Look at you doing everything that you're doing, too. You weren't like that when I first, published your first short story. Well, you were probably growing with that, but like you said, you were in your room for the longest time, just like learning how to play.
Well, I mean, that was 30 years ago. So, I mean, I had done a lot before, but then I had kind of stepped away from it for an extended period of time.
I got to do something like that again with the piano, because I used to, like back in the day, preach in churches, and I was very musical. I wrote my own songs. I actually even learned how to write the music down on sheet paper, and in churches I would like show it to the minister of music, saying, is this right? And he would like correct stuff, and then I would like perform in front of like a few hundred people, and you know, stuff like that, just me and the piano. And I want to try to get that back. I just don't want to get it back in church. I just want to and I got a nice piano like room now, with synthesizers and microphones and 180 whatever keyboard, with 180 keys, whatever, and I have to have that feel again with my fingers of a real piano, and I got that now. And every once in a while, I play and I sing old songs that I composed. But I mean, it's a side thing now. I wanted to be a rock and roll Christian singer. And, like, really, like, attract a ton of people and have a message and sing rock and roll Christian songs about Jesus. And I'm glad I didn't go that route. I'm glad I turned out to just, focus on writing and publishing. stuff like that. But I'm musically inclined too.
I played in church this morning.
You played in church this morning? What church?
It's a place called The Bridge Upstate. So it's a little, you know, probably 150 people church here in upstate South Carolina.
Ooh, do you play piano?
No.
You just play guitar and sing?
Yes, it's a contemporary Christian service.
Hello. He's in the Bible Belt.
Nice.
Of course he played in the church. Sorry.
I just got kind of tired of church because there's a lot of people in the music industry. I even had sample tapes that I sent to, like, record companies. I figured, you know what? I write, and I write horror stories. These people, even if I did make it to an extent and had an album or something, that kind of crowd wouldn't like the horror stuff that I wrote in the first place. So it's better that I just, like, write and do everything myself and send it out, get published and stuff. That way I don't have to have gigs. I don't have to, like, you know, devote myself, get a band or anything like that. I could just, like, write and publish, you know, and stuff.
The music industry is
And
the music industry is not a nice place. It is filled with bad people. So.
And even back in the day, so was the Christian music industry, too. Man, you know, back in the 80s, when We Are the World came out, they had to mimic it and come out with The Cause, with all the Christian, like Amy Grant and people, you know, they all got together. They tried to mimic all the, like,
Yeah, I remember when all the hard rock and metal guys tried to do that, too, with Stars.
Oh, Stryper.
Stars.
And, you know, Stryper.
Oh, those are great guys.
They are, though. They are.
In the Caribbean. They're very cool guys.
Back in the day, they opened for, like, Motley Crue.
Incredible musicians. I mean, just
incredible.
Hey, you know
what?
We're counting.
Yeah. Makes me want to go back to the piano again or something.
You should.
But, you know, it's just now it's like one of those things. It's great therapy, though. Music is great therapy. The whole writing thing is just something that's my forte now. That's my calling.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, look how many people, you know, you're making happy doing that. Not only through your own writing, but the fact that you're putting so many other writers out and you're making those people happy. You're giving them a forum, but then the people that read all those books, that because of you, all that's happened. So you've definitely found your calling.
Yeah, I'm really glad about that. I'm really glad that I found the road that I had to go down. The other road, it was just I mean, I had a good talent with music, but this writing thing is just above and beyond, way above and beyond. I'm really glad I got the, and the horror stuff too. I like when people ask me about, well, what do you believe in? I pretty much call myself an Alice Cooper Christian. I believe in the whole horror thing, but I believe in the Christian thing too. But I don't give a rat's ass what anybody thinks of me about how I do my religion. I know that if I was a plumber, that would be my job, to be a plumber. That's not the case. My job is to be a publisher of horror fiction, and that's what I do. And I love it. You know, I mean, it just happens. I mean, life is full of horror, even Lifetime movies. All kinds of drama. There's not serial killers, but there's people that kill each other. There's an element of horror in everything. And so, you know,
even in the Bible.
I stand before God, and that's what I tell him. You know, please don't send me to hell for writing and condoning, like, horror elements and what I've learned to do. At least I'm not a charlatan and an evangelist and are trying to make money off of people for religion. I'm just trying to earn a living being a horror publisher. That's all I'm trying to do. Anywho, I'm going on and on. Anybody there?
This has been great, as always. I guess we're off now, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, they're about to cut us off. We're not live anymore. They are about to cut us off. Like, Chuck, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. It's always fun. Always enjoy talking to
you. Anytime
Ruby.
You want to come on, we got you.
Well, I'll send you a synopsis of my new book, Nick, so you can start getting the cover ready and stuff, and I can start pushing it. I'd like to do that.
That would be great. I know that you at the beginning of the show said that you have some secrets, but do you have a title for it or a subject, anything?
For the book, the secrets were actually more about the album. I've got some really, like, pretty big name people that are going to be on it with me. And
really?
That's kind of stuff I can't really release yet. But
okay.
No, the book is called Nathaniel. It is it's going to be a supernatural horror, so a little different than what I've been doing. And it's about this guy that basically gets stopped at a traffic stop, and they realize he's a serial killer. But as they start investigating and all, he says that his brother is his accomplice, and his brother made him do all this. The problem is nobody can find any evidence that the brother even exists.
Oh,
so
wow.
They want to know, you know, is there a brother out there, or is this brother in his head? Is he a split personality, or what's going on? So basically I reveal the crime and the killer in the very first chapter, and then the rest of it just gets into the more psychological part.
Like the how and the when and the why.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds cool. That's a little different. That sounds a little bit more more dramatic compared to the other. I'm very anxious to see that. That's okay, then. That sounds fantastic.
Jeff, I do want to thank you for
it actually does.
Show. Of course, number one. And
well,
a lot of that had to do with you. I seen all those likes you got, and I'm so sorry I misspelled your last name. It's Cataract.
Oh, it's not a big deal at all.
Chuck W.
Yeah.
Cataract.
It's a terrible thing. I wouldn't wish this upon my worst enemy. Ready? Thank you for being here.
That'd be funny if I published his next book and I accidentally put Chunk W. Chapman on the title, and then the next day after I published it everywhere, I had to go to the hospital, and Chuck had to, like, wait for me to change it for, like, 3 months, and then people would, like, approach him and say, I love you, Chunk.
Yeah.
I love your book.
Yeah, I don't think that would be funny at all.
No, probably not. I'm laughing, but, I mean, that'll never happen. So.
It better not. Also,
no, of course not.
One more thing. You got to check out Minty's 10 Things You Didn't Know About. He's on YouTube. Very popular channel. He supported Nick and I And Nick and I are going to now support Minty's top 10 things he didn't know about. Have you ever seen them, Chuck?
I don't think so.
Oh, man, you got to do Minty's top 10 things you didn't know about. He does all these great research on movies and top 10 things you didn't know about certain movies. He's even, he's specialized Nick. Nick?
Yeah.
Nick, are you still there?
Yeah.
Minty did a little video on Nick.
That was a good
one. He didn't know about Halloween 4 and The Strange and the Weird about Jerry Springer. No, yeah. Minty's a really nice guy. Nice guy from Australia. Loves animals. So check out Top 10 Things You Didn't Know About with Minty.
Minty Comedic Arts, Mark Bishop.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Because they are about to cut us off. We're in the after party now.
Yeah. Anything else, Chad?
I don't think so. I am going to order those books from you. I'll probably send it over tomorrow.
Okay. And while we're talking, royalties are coming Monday. So, you know. The last I've gotten like about 12 out of like over 100 people. It's just when money comes in, I can pay. So you're one of the last ones, but you'll get it. So, and regardless, anywho,
that's not a problem.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, I will send this over to you, and we can start getting something worked up on it. So I'm starting kind of advanced pushing it. Plus the second audio book is being produced right now. So the Freak on the Moped book is being produced now. So.
And that's on Audible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to explore them.
Yeah, you asked about Audible.
Yeah.
I got a $23 check from my first order, so that wasn't too bad.
Huh. Yeah, I did have a deal with another audiobook company, but they haven't come through. They haven't come through with anything I sent them. And that's been like 2 years now. So I've been like doing like the AI via Google Books on like a handful, like maybe 12 titles. But I want to explore Audible and stuff. But gotta do that. Hopefully that'll work out.
All right. Well, always good.
Well, with your stuff, your stuff is exempt from any money I want to try to make off of. Yeah, you did that yourself. Anything that you want to do is okay. I'm probably one of the easiest publishers to whatever.
You are great work with. Well, I asked you before I did it because I wouldn't have done that without asking you first.
Oh, I know, and I'm glad you did. And there you have it. It's all right with me. So, I'm going to explore that a little bit and see what I can do, other stuff and things. Anyway.
I will say this. Mona Lisa has played 3 times since the show's been played. And it's something that you could hear on the radio today.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
It's
hard.
Great.
Everything's corporate now, so, it's hard for anybody independent to make any kind of money.
Yeah.
Spotify just screwed me out of over $1,000.
Oh, Spotify?
Yep.
But they screwed you out of what?
Over $1,000.
They did?
Yeah.
They claimed that I was getting too many streams, so they said that those streams weren't real, so they didn't pay me for them.
Oh. Oh, wow. Yeah, of course
it does. If
they're
not real, how are they showing up, you know, how are they showing up in your bat saying that they're there?
Hmm.
Oh, well, that's, you know, too many for an independent artist. No, it's not. So I'm fighting with Spotify right now.
Where do you get your money from when we play your stuff on Echo?
I'm with BMI, so BMI will send it to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they combine all.
I'm gonna play
W. Chapman
on my Echo 24 hours a day.
Okay.
You know what, Chuck? Even though we're bringing this up, it's like all these shows are turn out to be phone conversations that other people can listen to. You got an album that we can like buy? You can sign like vinyl.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be groovy.
Yeah, send me your address. I think you were going to do that last time. You forgot to.
Yeah, I forgot to. I remember that. But, yeah, because I love vinyl, but I like your music regardless. I mean, it's like I said earlier.
Check it out. Volume 1 times 2.
A lot of stuff that I've seen you do is just really amazing. It's amazing stuff.
Really appreciate
it. Like I said, you know, you keep going, gonna get better and better and better. But yeah, I'd love to have it. I'd play it, but I would probably frame it or something. because I can play your music anytime on Echo, and then you can make some money off of that instead of me on my record player. Anywho. And then when I have guests come over, I can say, yeah, I know him. He's my author. Look at him. Look at that album. Anywho.
All right, man. Always great talking to you guys.
Oh, it's great talking to you, as usual.
Radio is about to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Talk to you later.
Love you, Jeff.
Yeah, I'll see you on Facebook and stuff, and send me the stuff and things and all that, Chuck.
Yeah, definitely.
Appreciate
will.
You
yeah.
always.
Thank you,
Chuck.
Same to you. Thanks a lot, Nick.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome. Thank you too. Thank you too so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All righty then.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.